At first, I sat down beside the yard gate and watched them playing. I didn't want to appear too anxious, see? Also, I wasn't sure I wanted to get involved in playing beauty shop or dress-up. I mean, when you're head of ranch security, you've got to protect your dignity. Seemed to me that beauty shop and dress-up weren't exactly right for me. Now, for Drover, those games were all right. He didn't have a public image to maintain, and Pete... well, who cares about a cat anyway? Amy, one of the girl cousins, must have been, oh, I'd say 9 or 10 years old. She had hair the color of a field of ripe wheat. I guess Ashley's age was 8, and she had the prettiest blue eyes you ever saw, same color as the sky on a still afternoon in the fall. We never had any little girls on the ranch, and I wasn't sure how I'd get along with them. I stayed outside the yard and watched them dressing up Drover and Pete in dog clothes. They stuffed Drover into a pair of striped overalls and had Pete rigged up in a nightgown. They both looked pretty goofy. No, that wasn't my brand of fun. I had better things to do than... But you know, that little Ashley came out the gate and looked at me with those blue eyes and stroked me on the head and invited me to come into her beauty shop and... Oh, what the heck, I had a few minutes to burn. Those gals were quite a contrast to Alfred, the ornery little stinkpot, who was your typical 3-year-old boy made of snails and rails and puppy dog tails, gunpowder, lizards, toad frogs, and a dash of alligator juice. That boy could make more noise, more different ways, and do it longer than anybody I'd ever come across. 1 minute he was a cattle truck, then he was a tractor, then he was a bulldozer, then he was a bugle or a drum or a chainsaw or a machine gun. Just anything that made noise. He's the only kid I ever met who could start off singing "Old MacDonald Had a Farm," switch to a chainsaw, sing "Jesus Loves Me," and then spray you in the face with his bulldozer imitation, all in the space of 2 minutes. By himself, little Alfred could be a... how shall I put this? Better just drop it. He was Sally Mae's child, after all, and I had reason to suspect that she loved him. Let's just say that little Alfred was easier to bear when he fell under the good influence of his girl cousins. They were given the orders that afternoon, and their brand of play didn't require any bulldozers, bombs, or sirens. They also told him to stop cranking my tail, which I appreciated. I sat down in the beauty shop and smirked at Drover. "Son, if you knew how silly you look, you'd go dig a hole and bury yourself. And Kitty Kitty looks even sillier than you do." Pete gave me a dark glare. He wasn't enjoying dress-up. I could tell because his ears were lying flat on his head. Drover grinned.
"Sure is fun, though. Wait till they fix your hair. You'll like that."
"I doubt that, son. I won't be staying that long. I'm just here to check things out." But you know what? I did kind of enjoy it. Ashley took a brush and ran it through my hair, smoothed it out with her hands, and my goodness, her little hands were just as soft and gentle as rose petals, and now and then she would look down into my face and smile and... Never thought I'd fall for blue eyes, but fellers, there was something about them eyes and her smile and the way she held my face in her hands and stroked my hair and... Oh, what the heck, there was worse things in the world than getting your hair rolled up in pink curlers. Boy, she was a heartbreaker, that gal. Had the cutest little pointed nose you ever saw, and red lips that were shaped like a bow, and skin as smooth as whipped cream, and... You know, when she put that dress on me and tied the sunbonnet under my chin, I just sat there, wagging my tail and looking up into her eyes. Fellers, if she'd asked for the moon, I would have been on the next rocket ship to space. If she'd asked for the stars, I would have picked her a bushel basket full out of the Texas sky. If she'd asked for a song, well, shucks, I would have written her one. Something like this in here.
snakes and frogs. They're mean to cats and puppy dogs. They'll pull your tail and twist your nose and drive their tractors across your toes. They'll make you mad and they'll make you howl and make you glad for little gals.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for making gals.
They give a boost to our morale. This would be a sad old world if we had frogs instead of girls. These little donkeys we call boys, they make a mess and lots of noise. You always know when they're close by. They tease the girls and make them cry. They're hard on clothes and break their toys. There ain't much use for little boys. Thank you, Lord. Swear by the stars above, watch out or you'll fall in love.
Yes, sir, watch out or you'll fall in love. That was sure the truth. But I didn't take my own advice. I wasn't watching out, and I fell in love with them two little gals. Whatever they wanted to do with me, that was just by George all right. And if they'd wanted to take me home with them after the holiday, I was ready to resign my position as head of ranch security and move out. Well, we played dress-up and beauty shop for a while. Then Amy went inside and brought out a little wooden table and some plastic dishes, and we played tea party. They had me and Drover stand up on her back legs and put her front paws on the table, see? And then Amy poured everyone a cup of tea. It was really milk. I noticed that Drover was grinning at me. Are you grinning at anything in particular, or is this your usual expression?
Who, me? Was I grinning?
Yes, you were, and you still are.
Oh, gee, I guess I've never seen you in curlers and a dress and a sunbonnet before.
Is that so?
Yeah, you look kind of funny.
I see. Well, it might surprise you to know that you look a little strange in your striped overalls.
I do.
Yes, you do. And dogs who live in glass houses shouldn't call kettles black.
Dogs who live in glass? Okay, I'll try to remember that.
Do that. And you might also remember that making little girls happy is part of our job. Also, that beauty knows no pain. Also, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but you can just shut up.
That's a lot to remember.
You can do it, son. But if you have any trouble, just remember the shut up part.
Oh, okay.
Pete was being a spoiled sport about playing tea party, but that was no big surprise. You know these cats. They never want to do anything for anybody else. Just too selfish. He still had his ears flattened against his head, and the pupils of his eyes had gotten big, and he was flicking the end of his tail and giving off that growl siren of his. I never did care for that, and I noticed that every time I looked at him, my lips began to curl up. Well, the gals told me and Drover to drink our tea, so I put on an impressive demonstration of how a huge, enormous cow dog can lap milk out of a tiny teacup without spilling a drop or knocking over the cup. It ain't every dog who can do that. Whilst I was demonstrating this technique, Grandma walked out the back door and looked at us. Her face lit up and she called for Sally Mae.
Sally Mae, grab your camera and come look at this. It's the cutest thing I ever saw.
A minute later, Sally Mae came hobbling out the door on her crutches. Seeing her there within crutch range made me a little uncomfortable. I wagged my tail and looked the other way, hoping she wouldn't do anything rash. I mean, Sally Mae armed with a rock is bad enough, but when she's packing two crutches, watch out. Lucky for me, she smiled, even laughed.
Well, my stars, is that my husband's dog? The same one I wanted to kill this morning? I hope you girls don't get leprosy from handling the nasty thing.
I glanced around looking for a nasty thing. I didn't see one.
And girls, we'll want to go straight to the washing machine with those doll clothes when you get done.
She looked at us and shook her head.
I'll swear, Mom, between kids and dogs, a poor woman never knows which way her feelings might go.
Isn't that the truth? Sally Mae held the crutches under her arms and brought up the camera. She told us to smile and hold still. I held still, but I didn't smile. I leave all the smiling stuff for Drover. I don't mind playing dress-up and tea party, but I don't intend to smile about it. That wouldn't be dignified. The ladies went back inside to work on their pumpkin pies, and I finished lapping milk out of my teacup. Down towards the bottom, the cup started moving around on the table, and I had to move with it. This brought me closer to Pete, and he made the mistake of hissing at me. Well, you know me. There's some things I can tolerate and some things I can't. No cat hisses at Hank the cowdog and gets by with it. My lips curled. I bared my fangs and growled. Pete fired up that yowl of his, hissed again, and popped me on the nose with his claws. Hey, that was the wrong thing to do. I was fixing to pulverize. Lucky for Kitty Kitty, Amy and Ashley made a dive for me, grabbed me around the neck, and somehow managed to prevent my highly conditioned body from flying like an artillery shell right into the middle of the dumb cat. Saved his life is what they did, 'cause I was all set to clean his plow. Well, Kitty Kitty had been looking for an excuse to escape anyhow, he being a killjoy and a spoil sport, and he went bounding across the yard, ducked under the fence, and headed out into the pasture, taking the nightgown with him. The girls turned me loose and ran after him, out into the pasture. It was at that point that Drover said,
"Gosh, I hope Tuerto isn't around."
"Don't be absurd. After that scare me and Loper threw into him, I doubt that we'll ever..."
"Huh?"
Unless I was badly mistaken, my sensitive ears had just picked up the sound of horses' hooves coming from the east in the home pasture.